This is Ticker Symbol U, a podcast focused on highlighting advanced technologies that are transforming our lives and disrupting their competitors in the process. My name is Alex, and I'm definitely not a financial advisor. I'm just a nerd that loves sharing my personal vision of the future and putting my money where my mouth is. To learn more, find me at tickersymbolu.com or youtube.com/tickersymbolyou. Let's start with this.
I mean, if you're a traditional automaker, you must be so scared right now. You're trying to save your core business in the pandemic. And on top of that, you're trying to build an electric autonomous vehicle. And really, none of them have successfully done that.
Today, when you want to go somewhere, you probably get in your car and drive there. If you live in an urban area, maybe you hail an Uber or a Lyft, get into somebody else's car, and have them drive you there instead. I personally think that the 2020s could be the last decade where this will happen. So in this episode, I'm going to show you the current state of the art in autonomous mobility, what the future of transportation could really look like, and how Tesla is driving us there. Let's drive right into it. Here's something I bet you didn't know. The PlayStation 5 is the fastest-selling gaming console in US history, both in terms of units sold and in terms of dollars. Sony sells the PlayStation 5 at a loss. In fact, most video game consoles are sold at over a 20% loss if you include things like marketing, holiday discounts, and so on. They do that because the real gains are made on the software and subscriptions that get bought afterwards. Here's another interesting fact. It takes about the same amount of money, roughly $500, to make the iPhone 11 Pro Max. Apple sold that phone for more than double what it costs to make, giving them a pretty hefty profit margin on their hardware. In both cases, the PlayStation and the iPhone, the platform providers charge a roughly 30% platform fee. So even if people aren't buying Sony's or Apple's software specifically, they're still making money from companies like Netflix, when users use that service on their PlayStation or iPhone. In my opinion, Tesla will follow the same model. The car itself will be the hardware platform, and many different pieces of software, services, and other user experiences will be built on top of it. Netflix is one example. Right now, Tesla's cars are in competition with traditional auto, like the first iPhone was competing with Nokia's phones. Remember those? At the time, Nokia's N95 and the iPhone looked like directly competing products. Obviously, in hindsight, they couldn't be any more different, and Nokia's market share collapsed accordingly. With that context, let's go back to the clip I played at the beginning. As you listen, think about what it means for Tesla to lower the hardware costs of their platform, knowing that the real money comes from software packages and services, just like with the PlayStation and the iPhone.
Tesla is reducing battery costs by 50%, increasing range by over 50%, and reducing investment, so the cost to build factories, by 70%. I mean, if you're a traditional automaker, you must be so scared right now. You're trying to save your core business in the pandemic. And on top of that, you're trying to build an electric autonomous vehicle. And really, none of them have successfully done that, especially on the EV front.
I want to pick you up on what you just said there, because in the past we've discussed this. You've said, look, Tesla's battery technology is, what, 4 years ahead of the competitors. Are you now saying if, and I'm putting a big emphasis on if, they can achieve this, then that lead would be insurmountable?
I think that's exactly what this means. The cheaper car, is also another point in that bucket, right? Because now if you want to match Tesla on price and performance, how are you going to do that? Their cars are getting even cheaper. They're breaking into other customer segments, and now Tesla's just running away from them.
It's quite fascinating, isn't it, if we're talking about a $25,000 entry point. And actually, they were saying a fully autonomous Tesla, but we'll skip that bit because I know you get very excited about their advances in autonomous technology and their data collection, too. Because, you know, if you look on the lifetime basis of an electric vehicle, it works out cheaper, but it's the entry point, the relative height or the greater cost that's difficulty for many people here. If you can bring those kind of costs down, then, you know, there's a double whammy here too. But this is all about the future, and I think that's what investors are focusing on today.
That's great, but it's not enough to innovate and simply lower your prices. You actually have to hit critical price points for people to buy your product. If you want to sound extra smart at your next dinner party, wait, do people still go to those? This is called the price elasticity of demand, which is a fancy way of saying that there's usually an exponential relationship between price going down and demand going up. For example, if you cut the price of your product in half, maybe four times as many people buy it, meaning you actually just doubled your money. almost nobody would pay $1,000 for a PlayStation 5, which is why Sony sells it at a loss. The more homes the system gets into, the more people they can cross-sell and upsell on high-margin digital media. So, before we can imagine a future filled with autonomous robo-taxis, we have to ask the same question about Tesla's platform. Will their hardware margins be like the iPhone's, or will they have to ultimately sell it at a loss like the PlayStation to be competitive?
I think that what most people are missing, so for a long time we've heard that there's this demand problem with electric vehicles. To us, that's a kind of a crazy idea, because if you look at this from a cost perspective, we've done the modeling using something called Wright's Law. It's a derivation of Moore's Law. So we think that battery costs are declining such that by 2022, a mass market EV will be cheaper than a gas-powered car. Once that sticker price changes, you get a massive uptick in demand. So we don't see demand being an issue at all for the company. And that cost equation will also help Tesla's margins. So right now, auto margins sit at about 20%, a little bit less if you take out credits. We think that could go to up to 40%. If you follow Wright's Law, which is forecasted cost declines in the auto industry for over 100 years. And then I think only recently have we gotten any questions on autonomous driving. And it's something that Tesla's been talking about for years. And this could totally change the business model. It'll be a recurring revenue model like ride hailing as opposed to a one-off sale. So we think that's a massive opportunity.
Tasha Keeney is ARK Invest's analyst focused on autonomous technology and robotics strategy. In the next year or two, Tesla's platforms will start competing with the most popular cars like Toyota's Camry, Civic, and Corolla, and Tesla won't have to sell it at a loss to do so. Autonomous robo-taxis could cost as little as 25 cents per mile to operate, spurring widespread adoption. The reason this matters is because Tesla ultimately needs to make autonomous ride-hailing affordable enough not just for people to buy in, but profitable enough for businesses to build an ecosystem of services and experiences on top of it at scale. This lower price point can still generate significant margins, which would expand the total market from $150 billion in revenue to over $6 trillion. That's well over a 50% compound annual growth rate over the next 9 years into 2030. I think of Tesla's full self-driving software like the operating system on the PlayStation or the iPhone, because solutions built on top of the platform still require the operating system to function. Tesla's camera-only approach to FSD is incredibly challenging, but requires no infrastructure like geofencing or other external sensors to work. That means Tesla can scale the solution as fast as they can solve the problem, instead of having to adjust their timelines for local jurisdictions or third-party vendors. That's a big differentiator for any business that wants to build on top of that platform. I really believe that Tesla is the only company in any sort of position to scale this way, thanks to the billions of autonomous miles of camera data they've already collected, and their ability to automatically tag it with range data from the radars that are in their cars on the road today. Tesla software is getting better and better in incredibly difficult situations, like getting cut off in very tight spaces or pedestrians walking through the car's lane at awkward angles. A fully autonomous transportation platform will need to handle all of these cases reliably if that $7 trillion market I mentioned earlier is going to include things like autonomous tourism. If you want to understand the details around some of Tesla's other massive innovations and why I think their autonomous platforms will win the decade, I broke them all down in a recent episode. I'll leave a link to that in the description below as well. For now, the progress that Tesla is making with their vision-only autonomous mobility platform is making me increasingly confident, so I'm comfortable checking that box. Now that I've shown you that the economics make sense and the hardware is getting more and more capable at scale, let's see where Tasha Keeney thinks the biggest use cases for autonomous mobility will be in the future, and then I'll add in some of my own crazy ideas.
We think most of urban driving will go autonomous, and that's where the majority of miles occur today in urban markets. So you can think of it as a two-car household becoming a one-car household moving to zero cars. So if you live in a city, chances are you won't need to own a car, and you could just take an autonomous Uber every day to work if you wanted to. We think this could be a boon to the entertainment industry, for instance. You could have more Netflix subscribers if everyone's freed up to do whatever they want in the back seat. Of course, you could be doing work, but I mean, if sort of planes are any indication of what people would do, we think most people will probably want to watch TV. So it really just, it gives back time to the consumer. And what's interesting sort of if you look at this on an economic perspective, that's really unpaid labor.
Let's expand on Tasha Keeney's use case for an autonomous mobility platform. According to a recent Statista consumer survey, 75% of American workers and students still commute in 2021. This is a post-pandemic number that includes the shift to remote work and schooling. The median one-way commute time is around 25 minutes, so people spend 50 minutes a day or over 4 hours a week in a vehicle. This is just commute time. It doesn't include things like going to the mall, visiting friends and relatives, dining out, or any other reason people set foot in their vehicle. Let's add all those things up and say they add just 10 minutes of car time per person per day, meaning the average person probably spends about 5 hours per week in their car. People today spend over an hour a day on subscription streaming services. That's a number the pandemic certainly caused to go up. The time people spend streaming is happening more and more on mobile devices. In fact, back in 2019, more time was spent streaming on mobile devices than on non-mobile. Today, nearly all the extra time people spend online is on mobile. Based on Tasha's comments and all of these statistics, it's not unreasonable to assume that if autonomous driving frees up your time, that time will go back to mobile streaming. Okay, from now on, let's assume that Tesla does solve autonomy and can clear all the regulatory and insurance hurdles and launches the robo-taxi network. I know it's not a sure thing, but let's say it does happen. Then Tesla would effectively double the amount of time people could be streaming content, from 1 hour a day to two, half of which would be exclusively inside their own vehicles. Tesla definitely knows this because their infotainment system is constantly being upgraded and their over-the-air updates continue to include more access to different car modes, games, and other entertainment services. Also, if you didn't know, Tencent, a Chinese conglomerate that owns 5% of Tesla, is a stakeholder in a lot of social media, social commerce, and entertainment properties, many of which I'm sure will be available through Tesla's infotainment systems in China, the world's biggest urban auto market. Quick side note, I think this is one reason that Tesla sits at the top of ARK W, ARK Invest's fund themed around the next generation of internet applications. They're going to add a digital experience layer to physical point-to-point transport. Tencent also sits inside this fund. I'm the kind of person who wouldn't really set myself up to do work for only 15 to 30 minutes at a time, so I would definitely spend that time catching up on news or entertainment or chatting with friends. Unless Tesla gave me a compelling reason to do something else. Think about all the third-party apps, subscriptions, and services you could build on an autonomous transportation platform like this. Passengers inside a self-driving car are literally a captive audience for the duration of their ride. What if Tesla used the information it knows about you, the types of things you and passengers like you enjoy, the duration of your trip, and the places you'll pass along the predetermined route to provide the most enjoyable, custom-tailored, point A to B experience possible? For example, imagine Tesla knows you're on a 45-minute trip to a restaurant. You sign in on your Tesla ride-hailing app, just like you would for Uber today. Tesla puts together a fun 45-minute playlist full of leisurely songs as opposed to a workout playlist or music that helps you study. It also sees that you have Netflix, so it recommends 2 episodes of different shows you're currently watching that add up to 45 minutes. Or here's a new game on the Tesla Arcade that you can try for free for this trip only. Each round takes around 15 minutes to play, which means you can get exactly 3 rounds in before you arrive at your destination. Just pick which of these 3 things you'd like to do, and you can always swap between them from the main ride-hailing menu. It also lets you know that you're passing 2 stores that passengers like you enjoy, and a 3rd one that you marked on your own Google Maps. Do you want to add any of those as a stopover? Imagine that you pass stores or venues that partnered with Tesla. The infotainment system offers you limited duration discounts. You have only a few minutes to tell the car to stop at the store before the discount goes away, so the car doesn't have to waste too much energy and time doubling back. What about a show me around town mode, where the platform dynamically learns the hotspots for different scenes in each town, history, sports, music, cuisine, and so on, and you get a special one-time discount for any spot you stop on along the tour. Think about how cool it would be to cruise down Lombard Street if you genuinely felt safe in the car and didn't have the stress of driving it yourself. What about services or experiences at superchargers that you can opt into, allowing the car to recharge during your trip, but you get some sort of discount or reward in exchange for that extra time? What about a caravan mode, where a lead car puts in a destination and other cars can sync up to it and follow it? This is just the tip of the iceberg of how I think people will be using Tesla's autonomous mobility platform and what the best apps in their ecosystem will cater to. Tweet me at ticker symbol U. Would you try any of these crazy ideas? What other apps or services or experiences do you think could be built on top of this autonomous mobility platform? Or if you're skeptical about this vision of the future and think I'm investing in a pipe dream, comment below with what you think I'm missing. Either way, I'm excited to hear your thoughts. I hope this episode helped you understand some of the technologies, trends, and economics behind autonomous mobility today, what this massive $7 trillion industry could look like over the next decade, and how Tesla's solution is leading the pack. Until next time, this is ticker symbol U. My name is Alex, reminding you that the best investment you can make is in you.